Thanks for joining us again for the latest edition of the RWT, The Red Wine Therapist. Here with me tonight is Leah Rue. That is with three O's.
Because I don't like to drink alone, believe it or not.
Our saucy sex scientist, Shantae. She sure blinded us with science.
You're basically doing everything wrong.
Lord Awesome, also known in some circles as Jeremy Inman.
Hey, I'm drunk. Come give me a drunk booty call.
Our Asian temptation, Oscar.
Prada and Cartier isn't like luxury items.
And she's back to discuss all things wine, and we love her so affectionately.
Babe, I said, could you just put your face in my box?
While Allison is off enjoying herself in the Bahamas, we're treating ourselves to the vocal stylings of our very own producer, artist,
Nailman!
And we are sans guests this evening, which means we're taking your calls and tweets tonight. I'm Jamie, the producer, and let's get started.
Hello!
Our topic is the science of attraction and learn all about sex appeal and why we like what we like and who we like and all that good stuff. So, yes.
It's gonna get all cosmic.
Yes, it's gonna be good. But before we get to that, we will talk about our love, sex, wine for the week. So mine is wine related, even though it's not technically wine. On Cinco de Mayo, I got to hang out with two really cool ladies. So I had some really good margaritas and good conversation about micropenises and threesomes.
Oh,
so it was awesome.
Cinco, a new one for me. It's about wine, guys. It's not about smut this time.
So
Shantae and Lee and I were chilling on Lee's porch, and Lee lives in the coolest little area in the DFW, this Oak Cliff area.
So nice.
And we were like, let's get some wine. And she said, oh, sure, I'll just call in and have it delivered. And I went, what? What are this? Mm-hmm. Call them up. You can say, here's how much I have to spend. This is the type of wine I'm looking for. Here's my address. Here's my extra dollar for delivery. Bring it on. And they bring you exactly what you asked for. Love them. I want them in my neighborhood. That's the only thing that's really sad about
please.
It is like, why can't y'all come to Junius Pies?
I know.
Bring us some wine. At the
Junius.
So I think I'm going to go with S. So despite all the drama there's been a lot of drama been going on in my life with the L, as we know. I have had a couple of really filthy animals. Suddenly, it's like pheromone thing, so this goes into the science thing.
Sure.
It's like I'm putting it out into the universe, like a baboon in estrus or something. And I have been asked out on 15 dates in the last week.
God.
Nice! One of them just happened. So it's like the universe is like, oh my god, this chick needs some dickens. I need to make sure I'm not attracting knight in shining armor syndrome, because that's not cool. My dirty friend, who we talked about before, who had the little thing with the flowers in the attic and the dirty and the whatever, he's been sending me some very colorful texts, so that's been a fun thing. I think I'm in a place now where I'm ready to, like, I've never just had sex with, I've always been in relationships. So I'm like, I think I could maybe do this for a minute. And be like, what is this?
Try it out. Well, mine is super sexy too, except it wasn't my sex, not that I'm not having it, often. So I was in Miami, which is already like the sexiest city in the world. If you've never been, you need to go. So I went with some girlfriends for like a bachelorette, because I'm getting married soon, and we were staying at the Shore Club, which is like the best hotel, like everyone again, super hot, like super fun. But the one review that we kept reading over and over again is that the walls are really thin. Every night I woke up to our neighbors fucking so loud and so dirty.
Oh my god.
I know. And I went like, so instead of like being upset because I was awake, I was like, get it back. Everyone's having sex. So go to Miami, have sex.
That's amazing.
Awesome.
Yes. Well, A, I feel like a total prude, and B, I have nothing for this segment.
Okay.
No, I actually do, but I don't really want to talk about it. No, well, like, listen. I did some fucking...
Oh, I know what you want to talk about.
I don't really want to talk about
it.
That's what this was, and that's what...
Okay, can you not say the person?
It was interesting because we had met in an unconventional way that I have not been used to meeting somebody.
Right.
But not on a dating site. Anyway, so that's really it.
No, I think this is... Did you get a matchmaker? Jeremy!
Did people really do that?
Got groupie sex. Yes!
Woo!
Wow.
I was like,
that's awesome. You,
but yeah, thank you. Leah gave me 4 hours worth of verbal drubbing because
exactly.
of it. Everybody else was like, great, because I've never done it before. I took a page from a mutual friend of ours, because I've never, like what you were talking about, I've never dove into the just random,
never
just have this kind of sex pool for a while. So this was kind of my first foray into that. And then Leah, of course, is just judging the shit out of it. And I'm like, what the fuck ever?
I got out of a
shitty divorce. I got out of a relationship, just surprise ended on me. So it's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to get mimes for a second.
And you can get yours.
So,
and you're good enough to get a one-night stand in the DFW area. There's many beautiful women
here. Well, this one just kind of fell in my lap.
That's all
they want to
do.
You know?
Literally.
Yeah, literally.
You don't need to fuck fans.
Wait, how did you meet a fan? How did this even happen?
She found me on Instagram. So we ended up talking on Facebook, and then Facebook turned into texting, and then texting 4 months later turned into her coming out to visit. This isn't part of the show.
Can I just say, if it's not part of the show, why?
Because it's a funny story, Chase.
Then you're going to have to wait, buddy, or you let us air it.
Or you tell it.
Right.
That's a good point, actually.
Yes.
What?
Wait. Here's the deal.
We don't want to air.
But you haven't seen their name. It's not like you're going to shame her.
Right.
If I was her and you changed enough of the detail where people couldn't, like, figure out it was me, I'd actually be flattered.
Yeah.
Real. That's real. On the podcast that she listens to?
She's gonna be on the show. That's probably part of the reason
why
she was in it.
No, not that you're not hot. I'm saying that's probably part of the hot and kink in her mind. It's like, ooh, what if he talks about it later?
Yeah.
It might be like part of the thing.
I once made out with a radio guy hoping that I would get talked about.
Ooh.
Did you really?
A long time ago, yeah.
Really?
And I think
that's
all of Leah's stories. This is the one that everybody's like, ooh.
Right?
Seriously?
You made out with Lunchbox?
Who was it?
Lunchbox from the Bobby Bone Show in Austin.
Okay.
Lunchbox is like... I think he's like this little nerd guy. And what was funny about him on the show is that he would just like go out and like throw the fact around that he was Lunchbox and all these girls would make out with him. And so we would get on the show.
Or be the opposite of why I would make out with
him. We would talk about like how he made out with all these girls because he was Lunchbox. And so I was like, I want to meet Lunchbox and figure out like why the fuck everyone's making out with him. So I made out with him. Anyway, let's talk about your Lunchbox.
You have the fucking Lunchbox. The word has lost all meaning. Like it's not.
Did you ever finish?
I was going to tell the case and connection because neither one of us knew about it. And that's the funny part. But Jamie got all fucking uppity and yelled at me. So now I don't want to say shit. No, I really want to keep that on the lockdown.
My boyfriend
beat me up
and I talked about it. You were talking about making out with people. Let me see.
Okay, here's what's funny. He made out with a fan and then he also took her out on a date. So it wasn't just like wham bam.
Let's discuss because she flew all the way out from fucking Miami to spend 72 hours in DFW. So I'm like, welcome to Fort Worth. I took her to a rodeo. But it was actually cool because I live in Fort Worth and I've never done the Fort Worth tourist thing. So we were doing shit I'd never done and I've been there 15, 20 years. It was like a whirlwind tour of what to do cheaply in Dallas, Fort Worth. We did that. We did the stockyards and then went to the rodeo. But in between that, we had like hours to kill. So I'm like,
who paid?
Well, listen, I paid, but.
This might be an L, not an S. I'm just.
Like,
yeah, it sounds like
no,
an L to me.
No. You just do what's. It's just right. It's just what you do if somebody flies out to see you. Isn't that.
Not if it's a
standard?
Booty call?
Well, it's an expensive booty call.
Nobody bring me the rodeo. I think it's great that Jeremy had a polite booty call.
Thank you.
It's called being a gentleman, Leah.
Okay, then I
drove her to the dinosaur tracks, which is a great date PS if you want like to spend no money other than gas, pack a lunch or something, and go hiking in the Glen Rose dinosaur tracks and pull up
Sea
River. It's
so
awesome.
Yeah, I know, right?
You have a great time, you bond, you're in nature,
the weather's nice, it's great.
And then the next day I took her to Scarborough Fair, which was also a trip because I used to work there.
How many times did you fuck her?
Was it good?
Isn't that what it's all about?
Yeah, come on.
Oh, fuck.
She's a little young.
How many times did you come?
Was not groupie because
like, what's the ratio here?
She also fucked our mutual friend, who's also a voice actor, and
what, from Miami. She flew.
Yes.
No. Payson went to Miami.
Why would you do all that for somebody you're just gonna?
If you were flying
smash.
To fucking Colorado or something for a booty call, wouldn't you want to be shown the town instead of the
darkened
dungeon walls of the bedroom?
No, but I mean, Nick Leah wouldn't fly to Colorado to have sex. Fierce.
I think that's great, Jeremy, good for you. That's really
Oscar.
Nice.
I can't believe I'm getting shit about not just fucking a chick from
a
chick. Leah's making it sound like we're dating and it's this long distance thing and stuff.
You
and
just
it's like,
said it was romantic.
Wait, exactly.
I don't know how to live in that world.
Oh my gosh, you
can. As far as we're just here to fuck and then move on.
Okay.
I've never dabbled in that world. I've never even tried to exist in it. Whereas I have other friends that do it quite well. It's like, I don't even know how chicks exist in that world. And I don't know how to even approach chicks that live in that world. So I'm like,
talk to me after the show.
Okay.
So Mod is about love, per usual.
Of course.
And we're like now discussing vacations. And it's amazing how we have to negotiate. I'm gonna kill you with my advocate. So we've been on a cruise before, and I described it as a floating soup kitchen because people are gross and nasty. But this time we're gonna go with friends, and we're gonna go during peak season, so hopefully there won't be ugly, nasty, poor people there.
There'll be more.
Oh shit.
Yeah, so hopefully there'll be nicer people.
Oscar is elitist.
I'm not. I just don't like it when people are gross and smelly on my vacation.
When people look like Six Flags, you might as well.
Yes, I should have just gone to Six Flags. Exactly right. So yeah, we're fighting about vacation. So that's how first world my life is right now.
Let's go. Okay, it's wine times with Lee.
Woo.
So Leah brought this one, and Leah, I have now learned, really enjoys the tannic, kind of woodsy, kind of drier red wines. That's what she brought this time, one that's like that. It is called the Domenico Clerico. Okay, it is a 2007. It says Visa D. It has a little accent on the E, so I'm saying it right. It's a Dolcetto. It's a black, you say a black grape. It's a red wine, obviously, but it's a black grape. It's really, really inky. It's dry, but it is from the Piedmont area, so it's northern Italy. Whenever you think about like a Chianti Classico or something, any Italian wines, they all have that kind of woodsy, earthy kind of thing about them. This is not a Chianti. This would not be one. But I love this wine. This isn't a wine that a million people talk about. I really like it. I think it's underappreciated. I don't know what I would pair it with because it is so boldly dry. It's like, well, you don't have chicken because that'll just dehydrate your mouth. It's like, what do we put this with? Steak, real like bloody, like a pepper steak, because then that would take the, because it's kind of drier or whatever. That was kind of where my brain went with it. What did y'all think about that?
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
No.
Because of that problem.
Yeah, I like the one you brought, but that tastes like boo-boo to me.
Damn.
I'm trying to get out of my
mouth. I like it.
Really cool. I like
you
it.
Do?
Yeah,
I
like things that are woodsy and like rootsy and earthy. Like even my white wines, I like to be really classy and like, or like
herbal,
bell peppery.
Herbal.
Yeah. This to me tastes like if I was camping and I was like, and there was a fire somewhere and I was drinking wine. So anyway,
yeah.
I really liked it for something different. This is a porch drinking wine. I would be confused about how to pair it with food. I would say maybe a brie that's like a truffle brie or like a mushroom brie or something like that. That might bring up the creamy and kind of take away from some of the super dry smoky. That might be a thing.
Oh,
but,
that sounds good.
So that's just how my brain works.
Cool.
And that's the end of wine times for segment one.
Wine times.
Awesome.
Wine times.
It's really good.
Okay, I'm feeling really insecure because I feel like my palate is just fucked. Because that shit tastes like water to me.
Water?
Don't worry about it.
I don't taste anything. I just feel like it's like thick red water.
I take the whole wine aspect of the show to mean that I'm just supposed to drink it while here doing the show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
this is freaking me out now because we're talking about peppery and smoky and barbecue and steak, and I just taste water.
Tonight, the topic is the science of attraction. I'm kind of curious, like, what you guys think when you think of the science of attraction. What's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Sex.
Okay. Sex?
Okay. Why are we doing the things that we're doing? Like,
okay.
I think about pheromones. I think about oxytocin.
Uh-huh.
I think about hormones. I want to, what makes me across the room pick out that person that is my
Okay.
Yeah, I think of having a crush. Like, what's the first, like, why you? Why that person?
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah,
what's
yeah,
the
yeah.
first thing that makes me go,
yeah,
like, is
yeah,
it like,
yeah.
Oh, you smell like babies? Like, what is it?
One of the things that's kind of important in the science of attraction is when we look at someone's face and, like, kind of the first thing we look at, you know, and it kind of has to do with symmetry. Brad Pitt or Bradley Cooper? Who's hotter?
Bradley Cooper.
What the fuck?
Neither one.
Okay, well, you're all wrong.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt is the hottest.
Wow.
Scientifically.
Geometrically speaking.
So his face is the perfect ratio. When you look at the ratio of a perfect face, there's a golden ratio for faces. So an ideal face is 2/3 as wide as it is tall, with the nose no longer than the distance between the eyes.
Yes.
So you want the distance between your eyes and your mouth to be about 36% of the length of your face.
I'm fucked.
I'm a troll.
I'm a troll too!
And the distance between the distance between your eyes should be 46% of your face width.
That's bull. I'm fucking Pikachu then.
There's this woman who created this basically a scale of 0, 1 to 10 of attractiveness. Okay?
Oh no.
So, and it's based on the ratio, so it's like the distance between your forehead and your, like, the bottom of your eyes, and then from your nose to the top of your mouth, and then from your mouth to your chin down. And so Brad Pitt, on a scale of 1 to 10, is a 9.3.
Wow.
Angelina Jolie is like a 7 point something. She
really?
There's no perfect 10s right now.
Isn't Audrey Hepburn
yes!
closest?
I did research on this. Audrey Hepburn apparently had the scientifically most beautiful face, symmetrically.
Audrey Hepburn did have the perfect figure, but we'll get into a little bit more about
that. Oh, good.
But,
there's no hope for me.
Most people are between a 4 to 6. So that's a little bit about the perfect face and the golden ratio and what you need to have to be pretty. But you all are beautiful. I just want to say that.
Oh,
thank you.
So I've heard all about pheromone creams and sprays. So my question is that legit? Does that actually work? Is that just complete marketing bullshit?
It's bullshit.
For
the most part.
Yeah.
There is some research into pheromones, but pheromones do exist in the animal kingdom, and they do help attract mates.
Yeah.
So even bacteria have release pheromones. And a lot of animals release pheromones that's not always about sex.
I was in love with my cold.
You fucked up.
Right.
You is fucked the
if
fuck
I
up.
If I could fuck my cold.
You was great.
So, for example, like, ants release pheromones to, like, lead their other ant buddies into, like, to food sources.
Okay.
Or, you know, sometimes there's, like, animals that use their odors and stuff as a way to, like, fight each other.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's
like a dog marking territory, or a cat.
Right. It's not always about, yeah, exactly.
Like anal scent glands and stuff.
Right,
like that. Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
So, it's not always sexually motivated. While pheromones, in the true sense of the word, like, how we're thinking of, like, I release this odor and people want me more, it's not necessarily like that, but, researchers do believe that humans do emit a combo of chemicals that can subliminally attract someone. So everyone has their own distinctive odor print.
Right.
Like a fingerprint.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it's very distinct. So only like...
smelling right
only,
now.
Only like basically identical twins who have the same thing.
Whenever I met my terrible, horrible, no good, very bad fiance,
sure.
The first time I ever like got, you know, naked with him, I was like, you smell wrong. And I can't, and I've never had this before. And I thought it was just because I was going through a divorce and I had gotten used to a certain thing. But there was something about it that I was like, this is not right. And I cannot tell you. I would wake up in the middle of the night and be like, something's wrong.
Were you on birth control?
Yes.
I have been on birth control and also off birth control.
Were you on birth control when you met him?
I was. Yep.
And so you were on birth control when you thought he smelled weird?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That does have something to do with it. So, for example, if a woman is on birth control, then she's not ovulating.
Right.
Which basically, that state is very similar basically to like being pregnant. The whole thing with the MHC, it's major histocompatibility complex. Mm-hmm. This is the odor print, right? So, if a woman is not ovulating, then she's going to be more attracted to a smell that's more similar or in the same kind of immune family, that it's like basically immunogenes, basically. So you're more attracted to something that's in your family. However, if you're ovulating, though, you're looking for someone completely different from you because you want to further the species, right? So you need biodiversity. We want to make sure we're not mixing our genes in the same gene pool. So that's why if you're ovulating,
that's so interesting.
A man's smell may be a lot more attractive to you.
Uh-huh.
If you're in that state.
That was my second question actually was about
yes.
What were the triggers? And like personally mine is smell for sure. I mean, sound smell.
Mm.
And the odor print thing, I can literally Like, I have a crazy nose where I can tell you, every one of my friends, I know what they smell like.
There's a whole olfactory science there, because
yes,
it's not just attraction, it's memory triggers and it's things
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Like, you can be humming along, living your life, miserable, happy, or whatever, smell something that reminds you of when you were four,
right,
and then immediately be back to that situation.
Yeah,
there's,
yeah.
That,
so,
there's that element of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Too. Yeah, so
and I can smell through cologne as well.
Gotcha.
Like, I'm a freak.
Wow.
I can smell exactly like what you're about immediately.
Well, there is this.
I'm very sorry for what you're having to deal with.
Oh, shut up.
There's a scientist who basically, she says, you know, if you want to know if you have chemistry, like with your guy, this is for women, you have them shower and get clean and then smell them immediately after.
Yeah.
And if you like their smell, then you're good to go.
Yeah,
or if you use like a coconut syrup.
So couples that have this have similar MHC complexes showed less satisfaction in their marriages and their relationships and more wandering eyes.
What does that mean?
So, and it can also lead to infertility. So again, there's they have a similar gene complex.
Close.
So it's they're too close.
Are these couples that like each other's smell?
Right. If she was on birth control, she may have been, you know, attracted to a smell because it was more like hers.
Mm-hmm.
But say she gets off birth control and it's not a good match, or it's too similar to hers, then it can turn her off, and then it can create other issues. And some of these couples can even have infertility issues. Like there's too much similarity.
Like, that's why mutts are healthier dogs than cats.
Right.
So what about when a woman is menstruating and we feel like she smells awful? I feel like it's just a horrible smell, but I have had guys be more attracted to me during that time. And unwittingly, they don't know.
Well, because it may be
gross.
Even when,
even when you're
menstruating, I mean, you're shedding all of that and your eggs are starting to get ready to go.
Yeah.
So that may be a little bit of a part of it, of why they may be a little bit more attracted to you then. I don't know. But
I ask these because I'm torn myself with them. What wins, physicality versus personality?
Generally, for men, the first thing they're looking at is men and women.
I was
going to
say.
Especially men. They're looking at the physicality.
First.
Always first and foremost. That's always draw them in. Even then, they don't really have to have the best personality if they're really good looking. For women, the physical is important, but they're also looking at what is this person bringing to the table.
All I ever hear, if you have a sense of humor, going back to, if you've read Hitch back to online dating episode, which I wasn't here for, and this is one of the things I would have brought up immediately.
Okay.
Because all I hear is, well, you have to have I love to laugh, and followed by travel and everything shit that everybody loves to do. It's like, you're not fucking telling me anything, you idiot. Not to sound aggressive. Everybody wants a sense of humor. Everybody loves to laugh.
Yes.
La, 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 la.
Yes.
But, okay, well, coming from somebody who's always leaned on my sense of humor, I think I'm going to call a little bit of bullshit on that. I think with women as well, there has to be more of a physical spark, and then everything else falls in line. And then it's sense of humor, blah, 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 blah.
100% disagree with that.
Yeah.
Really?
And
from my own experience.
With you too. So it's probably just your personality.
So, like, you could be Quasimodo,
totally,
but if you're funny, I'm like, look at that one good eye.
Yeah. See, come on. Exactly. Because I know a lot of uglier-than-me funny guys who somewhat deal with, I mean, are find it very, very, very difficult to date, and they're fucking hilarious. What is this fantasy that's being told to men about, well, it's more about personality and sense of humor?
From a gay perspective, like, for me, it's very true.
Yeah.
Because my man is, like, physically is not my type, per se, but he makes me laugh every single day. Every single day, I'm like on the ground crying, laughing, and I am so in love with him, it's disgusting.
Like, I thought I liked chicks with huge boobs, the waist, and then, like, my last girlfriend was built like Artis, like tall, lean, and I was like, wow, that's fucking hot too. I mean, not to make it awkward, but it was like, wow, I never thought I would be attracted to that, but I was, and that was surprising to me. Versus my wife, before all of that, was like real thick, heavy chested, real cute in the face, you know. All three are polar opposites of each other. and I was equally attracted to all of them.
It's really interesting, too, because humor and how it's viewed is different for men and women. So, for example, women want someone that can make them laugh, whereas men, they appreciate a sense of humor, but they want someone that laughs at their jokes. Generally, we're impressed by someone that's more receptive to them, and so that's what they are attracted to.
Okay, are you ready for this?
Yes.
I just had this conversation with Sean. I laugh at him all the time. He never laughs at me. He doesn't think I'm funny!
What?
Usually people think I'm funny. He doesn't think I'm funny at all. So we've had this conversation. I'm like, why do you not laugh at me?
Oh my god.
Like, do you not think I'm funny? I was like, you're funny, but you don't laugh. I laugh at you all the time. He's really witty. He's really smart. I guess I'm just not witty enough for him.
But no, maybe it's like watching Newsroom, where it's like they never laugh at each other. Like,
yeah.
Funny things are said. You acknowledge that it's funny. But, like, nobody actually feels like, waka, waka.
I don't know.
Like,
I don't
know.
But I love you brought that up because we've talked about it. I felt insecure about it. I'm always like, do you love me? Do you think I'm funny? Am
yeah.
I enough? Like, what's going on? And he was like, stop. I love you, I love you, I love you. Stop talking about it. But
yeah.
As an actor, it fucks up my ego.
Oh, yeah.
To me, it's weird when I'm the funny one and you're just sitting there. To me, that's a total turnoff.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You have to keep up in order for me to be attracted to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, otherwise, it's way too one-sided.
Well, the reason that women generally are looking or value or prize a sense of humor is that it indicates intelligence and creativity. And so from an evolutionary perspective, it's a sign of healthy genes, intelligences. We want strong genes. We want to move our offspring forward. And so that's what we're looking for. For men, the goal is to seduce the woman. So knowing the woman likes him, she's laughing at his jokes. Knowing that she likes him is more important than the woman cracking her own jokes. And honestly, with the attraction thing, there's the waist to hip ratio. So it's for women the ideal, especially for European men. So it's calculated by measuring the waist circumference, so just above the hip, upper hip bone, and dividing by hip circumference at the widest part. So Sophia Loren, Marilyn Monroe,
yep.
Audrey Hepburn,
yep.
Venus de Milo. These women all, I mean, so Sophia Loren and Marilyn Monroe are a little bit more similar, but they, in general, had kind of different overall shapes and sizes. But they kind of all fit into that ratio. So for in European countries and cultures, 0.7 is ideal. For certain parts in like South Africa, 0.8 or 0.9 is more ideal for that culture. So it does differ between not so much nationalities, but ethnicities.
So my stepdad worked at the Dallas Zoo for years and years and years.
Cool.
And he has always said biology beats theology.
Hmm.
And what he meant by that was whenever I was dating super, super religious dudes and they wouldn't put out, he would be like, just wait, Padawan, just wait. Because as much as they say that baby Jesus would cry in his manger if the baby had sexy time, biology wins. And if this guy wants you, sorry about it, it's going to happen. And so that's what happened with me and my ex-husband, and he was a 24-year-old virgin, and we definitely had the sex after 5 months. It's always a 5-month thing. Like, I get them. So my thing is, I now have two very dear friends who I love very much who are recently engaged, and they are, you know, waiting till marriage type. But somehow magically you can do everything but, and maybe Jesus doesn't care in his major. But anyway, my thought is, if someone is waiting until marriage, how do they know what their sexual compatibility will be? Because that's a lifetime commitment. Is the pheromones enough to drive them together? And then, speaking from experience, the last human that I was with, the punchy, beat me up dude, he only liked to have sex like maybe once every 3 weeks. If I had known that going in, oh my shit bags, I never would have ever, holy shit, ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you don't, how do you know what your sexual compatibility will be? What is the assumption as far as sexual compatibility, as far as how much sex people should be having?
If you don't have sex before you get married, you don't really know what your sexual compatibility is. And hopefully, if you really are taking the time to wait until you're married, then you'll be having some discussions about what you like and what you don't like. Now, you can't control it if someone lies and says that, you know, maybe they expect they're going to be this way and they really aren't.
I wonder what the statistics are for that. Does that marriage last longer? If so, is the reason that they last longer because those tend to be religious people who are afraid of divorce anyway?
Because it's something that I debated with people waiting till marriage and stuff, blah, blah, blah. And then I dated a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, oh, because they don't put as much stock into sex. I dated a virgin / Christian. Mm-hmm. It was always about, that didn't matter about sexual compatibility, because by the time you're married, you have time to learn how to be compatible. Because it's not, it's all about God first and everything else second.
Being the person who is in the relationship I was just in, I spent 4 years, 4 years going, okay, I want sex every day. You want sex never. The way that that makes you feel, having to beg for sex, that kind of stuff, that is a shit that you can't deal with unless you know on the front end.
Yeah.
And so, like, you put it forward, you put it out there as if that's real you, and then 4 years later, you're angry that the person expects you to live up to the person you pretended to be.
There's something I find lovely about waiting,
mm-hmm.
and then, like, having a conversation, discovering, like, how,
yes.
even if you're not compatible, having a conversation and becoming closer by having that really honest,
mm-hmm.
brutal conversation about how you can be sexually compatible.
Before marriage?
Exactly,
though?
Before marriage.
Yes.
That.
Yeah.
I think my vagina matters. I'm just saying. If my vagina is not your higher power, then, like, we probably don't need to be together, because
mm-hmm.
there is godliness up in that shit. Pussy made of God.
So, sexy times is kind of what I want to talk about, because I've always been super sexy in the morning. Like, morning is like hornytime.com. Like, every morning I wake up and I'm like, yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's do this.
Yeah, and so, for the most part, most guys I've been with, seeing as things, like, biologically in the morning,
mm-hmm.
that's a good time
for
them to go.
Right.
They have not been into it. Now, not the case now,
mm-hmm.
but in, like, relationships before,
mm-hmm.
they've been like, no. And I'm like, really? Like, you're making me horny just being in the bed because you have your room.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
Your mother!
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm going to hit it. And they're like, ah. I'm like, what? What about different times of day makes people, like...
I'm with you. It's like the optimum prime for baby-making relations is between 9 a.m. and 12 p.m.
Shot, like, in the middle of the night, like, at 3 a.m., we'll wake up and we'll fuck.
I think that's sexy.
Yeah.
We'll do
that.
Sleep,
if you wake
sleep,
me up for sex,
you're
gonna
body.
Get stabbed.
If, like, what, if, like, we waked up, we woke
serious?
Up, and we both hard, we'll have sex.
And I think there's all kinds of different things that come into play. I know for me personally, I'm not a morning person, because I feel gross in the morning. As I've gotten older, I've been okay with, like, rolling over and just, like, getting it done. But I don't, like, seek it out.
So good in the morning.
I
it starts
love
your
that.
Day off. You go
yeah.
to work. You feel good.
Oh,
you feel
shit.
Good. You feel
yes.
like yourself. You feel validated.
Yes.
Like somebody found me attractive.
Fuck that.
Yes.
It's the weekend. You wake up, have hot sex, then make bacon and breakfast, and
yeah.
then you fucking do it again.
Yes.
Now that's hot.
Yes.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
When you break up with somebody, they always say it's important to have absolutely no contact, because... even though mentally you're like, I don't want them because of X, Y, Z, all these rational reasons,
mm-hmm.
the second you talk to them, the second you see them, that all goes out the window.
Right.
And I've heard it was a chemical thing, and that's
yeah.
why you're supposed to wait.
I think that's part of it. I mean, when you're, like, in love and everything, you have a lot of oxytocin flowing through your veins and through your brain, and so... and then when you have those memories that come forward, that oxytocin is released again. So, for
yeah.
example, if you see that person or you hear their voice, and then those positive memories that you have come back.
Makes
oxytocin is, they call it the cuddle hormone.
Okay.
It's something that's released. Lactating women, mothers, it's a bonding hormone. Men and women release it after orgasm.
So if I broke up with somebody, like, how much time would you say we should give it till those chemicals leave and you can think rationally? Because I have friends that will not, like, they will not even wait for 2 weeks. And I'm always the friend that's like, dude, that's not you.
Yeah.
That's that shit in your brain. You
but
just
there's
gotta
a pleasure
get it out.
More to that, too. There's a part in our
it's
brain that lights up, that is related to addiction and stuff, too. So,
mm-hmm.
in that pleasure reward center. So, that's part of it, too. It's like, oh, but, this person, I get this feeling, I get this high, so why would you want to stop? Rationally, you know that it's not a good thing, but, the chemicals and all of those things kind of take over sometimes for some people. So, that's why you may want to. An exact time, I don't know if it's a scientifically exact time. I would give it, a month minimum.
So the non-scientific thing
the Cracker
was like,
Jack box.
Yeah, it was like twice as long as you were in the relationship, it will take you to be 100% over that.
I've heard it.
I like half as long better because I need that.
But what Lisa
like
said, yeah.
So no contact is important. It's better to just cut it all off, not see them, not talk to them. Is that, or does it matter? Like, can you
still
talk to them?
I think everybody's different.
Really?
I think everybody's different. You know, some people may really need just to have the no contact in order for them to really move on, and other people, they really don't give a shit.
Is that urge that you're feeling when you're like, oh my god, I gotta call this person, is that chemical or is that emotional?
I think it's a combination of both. We have all these hormones and there's all these biological drives that are moving us and all that stuff, but the reality is that we have brains that have evolved as well. We have big, huge brains that help us make a decision, so we're not only driven by the biology. Oh, and then there's this other research they did recently where they gave these people an MRI, people who had gotten broken up with, and the part of their brain that lit up when they looked at the picture of their ex was like the part of the pain receptor kind of area in the brain, and then they burned them. Not like burned them like severely, but they put a little heat to them. The same area of the brain lit up.
Somebody told me the other day, rejection is the universe's protection. And if they reject you and they decide to vilify you, then it's pretty fierce because then you're like, oh, well, you don't even, I can't even try.
Right.
Okay, so there's this thing called volatile acidity, and since we're talking about relationships, I thought, oh, that shit's volatile. So, volatile acidity refers to the steam distillable acids present in wine. So, what I'm going to tell you is, typically, if your wine has cooked a little, or if your wine has gone through secondary fermentation or whatever, you're going to get some volatile acidity. Here's how you know that it's volatile acidity. If you pour your wine and your wine smells like acetone, like nail polish remover or something, that's some bad shit. So there is this nasty place in Fredericksburg, Texas, calling it out. It is called Fredericksburg Winery. And all of their wines there taste like nail polish. You get a whiff, a waft of nail polish. It's the worst thing ever. What that means is maybe they've added some additional sugar toward the tail end. Your wine is bad if it smells like acetone. It's a thing that some people can pick up and some people can't. Sometimes it leads to, like I said, secondary fermentation. It's a little bit of additional bubbles. So you'll be like, oh, this wine's great. It's kind of sparkling. It's not meant to be effervescent. So that's what I'm telling you about the science of wine attraction. If you sniff that stuff, that is like wine pheromones, they bad.
Can you send it back? Can you open it?
Always. And the thing is, you say you can say acetic acid, or you can say VA, volatile acidity. If you get a tiny waft of that on your nose, you send it back, and there's no questions asked. So this is Volvaire. I used to sell this wine, and I love it. It's not super expensive. It's like 18 to 20 bucks, depending where you buy it, retail. It's a 2011, so it doesn't have a super long time to get fancier, better than all of us. What I will tell you, it's a single vineyard. So the fact that it's from one vineyard, you can actually taste the terroir. Terroir, it refers to where wine is grown, the particular qualities about the dirt, whatever. I've had a Zinfandel before, but I said, oh, this kind of tastes like, it kind of tastes like eucalyptus. And they were like, oh my god, there's a grove of eucalyptus trees. Like, oh my god. You can sometimes taste stuff like that. It's like if you grow tomato plants next to radishes or whatever, they're going to have that weird deadly nightshade kind of situation going on. This is a big wine. It does have a little bit of that smoky, kind of oaky thing going on, a little bit of the vanilla-y. But I don't know. What did you guys think about
this? This was hands down my favorite. Like, hands down my favorite.
This one was very good.
Yes.
This is exactly what I thought I was buying when I got the other one.
It's epic. It is so good.
If I say it tastes flat, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it doesn't have a flat.
The flavor profile doesn't have a big arc to it or whatever. It's like a French wine.
It tastes like a flat soda. Have you ever tasted a flat soda? It's like, oh, this used to be good, but now it's shit.
Love it.
It's
good. I love it.
It's really good.
I'm obsessed with it.
All right, guys, we have Spencer on the line.
Yay,
Spencer, look, we gotta talk.
Jeremy, don't get up. So Spencer has a great question regarding our topic tonight on the science of attraction. Go for it, Spencer.
Yeah, you're talking about the science of attraction. I was interested in how that varies from one culture to another. Because obviously there's not one standard of beauty, you know, there's not one different parts of the world. There are different things that people find attractive. And even people that live here in the United States, they're not all the same.
there's no real set answer to that because different cultures do value different things. Like, for example, we talked a little bit on the show today, like, for example, the ideal waist-hip ratio as far as attractiveness for European cultures is 0.07, 0.7, whereas for South American and African cultures, it's 0.8 and 0.9. So there's just some standards that are different for different cultures for different reasons. You know, they just value different things. When you think about the cultures where they use, like, lip plates or, you know, neck rings or things like that. A lot of times they may signify wealth or reproductive health or some of those kinds of things. And so that's why different cultures value it over another culture.
My best friend his family's from the Philippines, and his whole family's from the Far East. And so I asked about that. I said, why is it that I've never heard that from, forgive me, this might sound totally incorrect, I've never heard this from a white girl, but I've heard this from a few girls that are Asian.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, in a lot of East Asian cultures, he said men that have pronounced eyebrows or pronounced eyelashes, that's really seen as masculine.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I'm going to get my nerd on for a second, you see that a lot with things like anime. A lot of male characters have the really thick eyebrows or pronounced
mm-hmm.
eyelashes, and he said that for a lot of East Asian girls, might like a guy like mine that has big blue eyes and like long blonde eyelashes, perhaps because it's just so different. I guess that he said to them, you might seem exotic.
Because I'm Chinese and I'm Far East. Like, for me personally, I like men with hair. Like, hair is a big deal for me. If you have no body hair, get the fuck out of my life. But if you have it, you're a real man. Yes. But I will say this about Asian women from the Far East, Spencer, is that the reason they like anime so much is that they actually like men who are... I hope I don't offend you. But they like men with feminine features. So, like, the long eyebrows, the long eyelashes, I mean, that's a feminine trait. If you see a lot of anime characters, they have very feminine qualities. But it's because that in Japan, the sexual culture is so oppressed that women feel like they can't really be fully attracted to actual real men. Not to say you're not masculine. Of course you're masculine. No, they will. You just be careful.
Spencer!
Fingers crossed, Spencer!
In Japan, the girls are shy, but there's no Judeo-Christian values holding them back from being sexually active like there are in America. So once you break through the shy barrier or whatever, then it's no holds barred. So when you're in Japan getting your Chuck Norris on, get your fuck on too. That's straight from the desk of Jeremy Inman. No problem.
Thank you, Spencer.
Thank you, Spencer.
Thank you,
Spencer.
Yes,
keep
Spencer.
It real.
And now for the tweets. At Pandalarium asks, I happen to be a big fan, he says, of big butts, and I've heard and read.
You love me.
Come here. He's heard and read that is a biological, instinctual desire. Is there more to that?
Men on a evolutionary biological level, they want someone that looks reproductively healthy. So if you have more meat in that area and your waist, bottom, from that perspective, you are healthy, you will probably bear lots of children, healthy children, and so therefore that's why some men, or more men in general, are going to kind of look in that direction. Now, people who like exaggeratedly big butts versus big tits versus whatever. I mean, some people just have their own personal preferences.
Well,
also, they did a study where men who were hungry, they were more attracted to women with higher weights. And
oh, wow.
So that would speak to, like, scarcity of supplies. You want somebody who's got more meat on their bones because...
So you can eat them? Like,
no. That means that they have access to that.
At Tim Morris USA tweets, you guys know anything about the attraction when it comes to voice? It matters to me, but I don't know why.
Men prefer women with a higher pitched voice.
Which is weird.
Damn it. Yes, because, again, that conveys, again, reproductive health. higher estrogen levels. So women with a higher pitched voice have higher estrogen levels. So, for example, they did this study with men, and they listened to several different women's voices. And so they thought it was, like, a whole bunch of women, but it was really actually only, like, four different women. But they did a voice test with them at their pre-ovulation and then while they were ovulating. So while they were ovulating, their voice pitched up just a little bit higher, and they all found the voice women who were ovulating, they found their voices more pleasing.
Oh my gosh.
Than the women who weren't.
Yeah.
So
what about Kathleen Turner?
I know, here's the thing, it's like, why is it in media? Why is the low voice portrayed
the smoky,
as
sexy
the,
voice?
Yeah, the dark.
I know, and so when I was like, because that's what, you know, when they did the research, that's kind of what they thought. They thought, well, and then again, I mean, that would also signal maturity. A deeper voice, you know, for a woman would signal mature, you know, past reproductive, you know, or at reproductive age and things like that. Oh, and also when women are talking to someone that they're attracted to, their voice automatically pitches up higher.
Yeah,
it's
weird.
So true.
Oh,
so true.
Because I find lower raspy voices extremely more sexy than some whiny, ditzy, fucking high-pitched voice that I can't stand to tolerate. But maybe I'm the exception to the rule because I also like a girl who can tell jokes and not just laugh at mine.
But I would say that goes together because typically the girl, there's the upline thing that happens a lot in the South. That I sound less disarming whenever I end all sentences like this because I'm not sure of myself. If you make all the questions happen, that to a man who doesn't want a woman who's assertive is very attractive.
I was just about to also say, as from a man's perspective, that immediately says easy target. When a girl is talking like that, it's like, wow, I'm going to fucking hit it and quit it, and that's it. So it's interesting to me to hear you say that. I mean, I get it. I'm not arguing your point. It's just,
And that is our show for tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, you can find us on iTunes and subscribe to us on Podomatic. Also, check out our new wine line. The number is 612-888-4RWT. That was 612-888-4798. Leave us a voicemail and who knows, you could end up on our next podcast. Don't forget to like us on the Face Space or find us on Twitter at Red Wine Therapist. Look at the eye. Hit up our sex therapist, Shantae, at Collinscounds. That is at Collinscounds. We're also on Insta, Red Wine Therapist. Again, forget that eye. Join us next time as we discuss sexual technologies. Until then, as always, love sex wine.
Love sex wine.
Bye.
Bye, Felicia.
Bye, Felicia.
Bitch.